Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for the Psychic View. Psychic View. On PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. With your hosts, Maureen Halloran, Steve Frampton, Jackie Hahn, and Sharon Bradley. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Sharon Bradley, and you're listening to The Psychic View, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. This evening, we have the pleasure of talking to our special guest, Dougal Fraser, and the show is about auras. It is my pleasure to welcome our co-host tonight. Welcome, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you, Sharon. How are you?
I'm great. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Absolutely, I can. My name is Steve Frampton. I'm a psychic medium, and I give readings on PsychicAccess.com.
Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome.
Jackie, how are you tonight?
I'm wonderful, Sharon.
That's good. Can you enlighten us a bit about your background?
I will certainly try. I am also a reader here on PsychicAccess.com. I work closely with the angelic realm. In doing so, my messages always come through that are filled with compassion and honesty. Excuse me, I didn't mean to emphasize that word, but and I really feel closely connected with the angels because of that, and I really honor the people who come to us with those very difficult questions. So it's really, really important to me to be in that place of giving them guidance. So, and that's it.
Thank you, Jackie.
You're welcome.
Welcome, Maureen. How are you tonight?
Like I said, it's like 80 degrees here in California. It's pretty lovely, so I'm doing pretty good, yes.
Oh. can you tell us a little bit about what you do?
No. Yes. Oh. The dishes. No, I do those things too, but I'm a clairvoyant, and you know, I'm all the clairs, except minus one, I think, but it allows me to receive psychic impressions and visions and feelings, and above all, the ability to see beyond appearances. And I'm motivated by good intentions and maintaining a remarkable degree of objectivity, and I take pride in that because sometimes it can be hard when you hear stories of some sorts that you really don't want to go a direction like it's the norm of people. I don't know where my guides are, but it all comes from within me. All I know is what I know, and it's in my heart, a caring heart, open heart. And I'm at psychicaccess.com as well. Yes.
Thank you, Maureen. My name is Sharon Bradley, and I am a clairvoyant, I guess. I see visions, and I also hear from spirit, and I don't use any cards or anything. That's the way I do it. And also, I do readings on Psychic Access. So I'm very excited tonight to be able to talk to Dougal Fraser. Dougal is an international known psychic, author, host, and cosmic coach. He has been recognized as one of the country's top clairvoyants and psychics by the New York Post. He is an author of a book called But You Knew That Already and has been featured on many national television shows. Dougal utilizes color therapy, clairvoyance, intuition, empathy, interior design, and practical advice to help people achieve their goals and dreams. For more information or to make contact with Dougal, please visit his website at http://dougalfraser.com. That's dougalfraser.com. Be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free reading on air with our gifted psychics. We will announce the call-in number later in the show. So be sure to have your pen and paper ready. If you are unable to catch our show on Return to Oz last week, you will find recorded archive link as well as archives of all previous shows on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com under the Archives tab. please feel free to circulate the archive links and future show details to your friends and family. It is our objective to connect with as many individuals as possible, so please share that link with others. Welcome to the show. Dougal, are you there?
I am. How are you doing?
I'm great. Welcome to the show. It's such an honor to have you on tonight. I'm so excited. You're truly a gift.
Well, thank you so much. It's an honor to be here as well.
Yeah, I'm so happy. Did you have anything you wanted to say? Or I have a bunch of questions. Is that okay? I can start?
Yeah, you can start whatever you want. I'm here. I'm available.
Okay. So I understand from your website that your first reading was at the age of 8. I can't believe it. That's so exciting. I just imagine all the people standing around with their mouths open. So can you tell us a little bit about
that? Technically, actually, my parents used to say that when I was standing in the crib, I would talk about seeing colors around people and hearing voices. And my mom was, like, super excited about it. My dad was like, we have a crazy child and should send him to therapy. But officially, my first reading where I actually sat down with someone was around the age of 8.
Wow. That's amazing. So you're a clairvoyant, intuitive, an empath, and you use color with your readings. So I just wondered, how does it work? Like, do you just walk around in a sea of colors all the time, or do you just turn it on when you do your readings? How does it work?
Well, it really depends. I pretty much see auras throughout the entire day. I think my main kind of ability is through clairvoyance. So it's actually when I listen to the sound of someone's voice that I start to see energy around them. And there's usually like a subtle color that we all have, which kind of looks like a very, very soft, pale yellow, almost leading towards white. And that's kind of like the life force. It's like chi or prana or the energy that moves through you. So I see that consistently around everyone. But then while we're talking, you know, someone's arms might start to look a different color, or their aura will shift, even more profoundly so if I'm in the middle of a reading.
Okay. Now, do you do readings on the phone or just in person?
No, the majority of my readings are actually done over the phone. I prefer it because the truth is, you know, I've been working in the New Age community for years, but I'm kind of a skeptic at heart. Like, I understand someone being, like, questioning it. So if I'm doing a reading on the phone, you know that I'm not reading your body language. You know, I can't tell if you're wearing a ring. I can't, you know, even see your reaction. So I love to kind of tune into someone's voice. I usually spend about 15 minutes talking about basically what my impression of being in their energy is. I'll always start with a color. You know, each color will tell me their strengths and their weaknesses, kind of what they're working on right now. But from there, you know, my goal is to look at how hard are you challenging yourself in your life? Are you stepping out of your comfort zone to create, you know, abundance and prosperity and all of that stuff? So I really prefer to do it over the phone because I'm really just reading the energy and that's it.
Oh, okay. Oh, I hope I'm pink. I'm just kidding.
Can you tell us what a cosmic color you're drawn to?
Oh, I'm sorry, pardon?
Is that a color that you're drawn to?
No, I'm just kidding you. It is, actually. But can you tell us what a cosmic coach is? I read that on your site.
Yeah, I used to do a radio show. Lisa Gibbons has a show called Hollywood Confidential that I do a lot. And whenever I would go on there, we would take callers, and a lot of times with a psychic, you know, they'll kind of predict things or they'll see what's coming up in their life, but they don't always give the tools to kind of change it. And I like to blend, yes, this is the energy that I'm seeing, this is what's going on in your life, but here are some steps that you can take to change the energy or to attract new things to you. And so the host at the time had said, God, you're kind of like a coach. You're like the cosmic coach. And yeah. I would do the show a lot, and she kept saying it over and over again. And it did fit for me because I'm not the kind of coach that would talk about, like, you know, organizing your finances and crunching the numbers. I always look at where energy is playing out in your life and how you can use energy to change things. So I developed this program where we meet on a weekly basis. We set up goals. We look at the patterns that keep repeating themselves. And all of it is for you to achieve the life that you're looking for.
Yeah, that's I love the name. It's perfect. It suits you.
Thank you.
It's great.
Yeah, thank you.
So now you're so young, and you've already been recognized as one of the country's top clairvoyants, psychics by Spin Magazine and the New York Post. Did you foresee this fame looking back when you were young?
No, this was something I never thought that I was going to do for a living at all. You know, so psychic phenomena was always something that I found to be really interesting and as a hobby. And the truth is, for me, you know, as a teenager, when you're the gay, chubby kid who sees colors around people on the playground, you're not terribly popular. So I did a lot of stuff with meditation and trying to get out of my body. I didn't want to be in my body because I didn't want to feel the pain. And as I got older and kind of matured and I came out of the closet and this was all personal work. I never thought it was going to be something that I would do as a living. And when I was about 20 years old, I was a massage therapist and did a few readings on the side, and I got selected. I was living in Dallas at the time. I got selected the best psychic in Dallas, and they wrote an article about me, and I started doing all these readings, and it became full-time, but it kind of found me. It was nothing that I ever set my intention for. And since then, if opportunities like tonight present themselves where I can speak to a group, I love that, but it's never been a mission or a goal. Like, all of it was pretty organic.
Oh, so the universe took care of getting you to where you had to go, sort of.
Absolutely. And sometimes the things they present me, I think, really? Is that really what you want me to do? But it always seems to work out pretty well.
Yeah. I know, it's hard. I guess it's hard. You know, when they keep pulling you, you have to go, or else you know the outcome. So you get to the point where you just keep going, isn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, for me, like, I always look at things as a way for me to exercise my voice and make my intuition stronger and all of those moments. And that can be sitting with one person in my office and talking about the energy that I can perceive around them. It can be at a book signing with, you know, 200 people in the room, or it can be live on a national TV show. But I try not to worry about the size of the audience or the piece of work in front of me. For me, it's always about being true to this is the energy that I feel, this is the experience that I get, and when I'm true to that voice, really amazing things can happen. And I think everybody can do that. You know, I never use the word gifted, or, you know, my purpose or my goal is to teach people that we're all intuitive. I just happen to be using it and talking about it on a regular basis. But every single person listening has psychic impressions hit them constantly. It's just a matter of verbalizing.
Mm-hmm. Well, you do it so wonderfully. So I think, you know, I just, when I go into your energy, I feel like everyone loves you. So it's just, you know, you're getting the message out there for sure.
Oh,
that's
thank
great.
You. You're sweet.
Yeah. So now your book, But You Knew That Already, What a Psychic Can Teach You About Life, sounds delightful. I tried to get a copy before, but I'm up in Canada, so I couldn't get it. But can you tell us a little bit about your book?
Yeah, I wrote the book because, you know, when I was younger and I would read spiritual books, I found that everybody in the book seemed like they were doing it perfectly. Like, they'd wake up in the morning and a beam of light would come out of the sky and they'd have coffee and tea with their angels and they would hear things so clearly. And that wasn't my experience at all. You know, I always explain my psychic abilities kind of like cosmic charades. Like, I see the most random things and feel the most random impressions, and I kind of have to put the pieces of the puzzle together, and then it will somehow relate to the person that I'm talking about. So the premise of the book was to show you all of the mistakes that I've made, you know, the times that I've been super accurate and the times that I've been wrong, because that's helped me kind of strengthen what I like to call my psychic muscle. And so I lead you through the journey of how I developed this intuitive concept, you know, the kind of people that came to me, what I learned about color, what I learned about people's relationships with energy, and how you can utilize those simple tools to change your own life. Because ultimately, I don't know if you have noticed this with your clients, but I see a pretty repetitive pattern with people. You know, they all have different stories and circumstances, but most people want to feel seen, they want to feel validated, they want to know what their purpose is on the planet, and I kind of try and help people see that through the book, that even though we're from all different walks of life and having different experiences, at the end of the day, we're all a certain energy and looking for the same thing. And I think that can be powerful.
Yeah. These people just want to feel good, I think. You know?
Exactly. I like to joke around about it, because I think a lot of the psychic community is very serious. And I'm a big believer in healing through joy. Nothing pleases me more than laughing at my own mistakes and recognizing patterns that repeat themselves and going, okay, here it comes again, you know, at least I'm seeing it as it approaches me. But I really want people to kind of giggle and really heal through joy. I think that's important.
Yeah, and you know, that was one of my questions I was going to say to you, that you do use humor, and do you think it's important for other people to use humor, when doing what they love? So it's kind of what you just said, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I just think, you know, I used to take it very seriously, and, you know, my chakras had to be aligned, and I had to be facing east, and all of these things that I still kind of do. You know, it's kind of like I used to have, you know, attachments to my tarot cards. I had to have my tarot cards, and I couldn't have people touch them, and I had to block the energy. And I've kind of learned that a lot of that was something my mind was creating. It was like generating fear. So I would write about some of the silly things that I did, and then, you know, the day the universe took my tarot cards away from me and was like, okay, well, now you have to give a reading because you forgot them at home, I had to get over that stuff. And the joy, the goal is to kind of laugh at it and realize that at the end of the day, whether you're stuck in traffic or, you know, in the middle of a parent-teacher conference, all of that energy and wisdom that you need to connect with is right in your heart.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. That's nice. And we're always exactly where we're meant to be. I always stress
exactly.
That. So do you anticipate writing another book? Or?
Yeah, I'm working on another book called Color is My Prozac. It's using color and energy, anything from fashion and design to visualization and meditation, to change your life. Because I think energy says and color says a lot. Like, even car insurance company will charge you more money based on the color of car that you drive. We speak in color. You know, I'm so angry I could see red, or I'm feeling blue today. And so I think there's a very interesting relationship that we as human beings have with color. So it's about the history of color from a scientific perspective to a spiritual perspective, and how you can use it. And actually, if you go to my website now, you can actually click on colors to learn my impressions of them and how that energy can change you.
Yeah, I saw that on your website, and you click and then what you're feeling, and then it comes up. It's kind of cute. It's nice.
Exactly.
Yeah, good idea.
So
you've been featured on TV shows like The Real Housewives, Dancing with the Stars, VHI's Best Week Ever, John Walsh, Good Day LA. So this is so exciting for you. But do you think you'll ever have your own show? Because I can sort of see that one day.
Well, you know, it's something that I wrestle with because it was never a goal. If I could pick, or should I say when I pick, I'd love to do a talk show where, you know, it's a symposium of healers. And wouldn't just be me as the focus, but I think a group of healers is really interesting, where we all kind of tackle issues from a different perspective. I have been offered things before that weren't necessarily the right fit for me, but mm-hmm. It keeps swirling back into my life, and if something comes that I feel is really honoring of who I am and my worth, then I'd be more than happy to do it.
Oh, okay. Well, you have my vote, so. How do you say, like, we have a lady in our town, and she has a purple house, a purple car, her hair is purple, and mm-hmm. I kind of like pink, as I told you before, but what's your theory on that? Do you think it's just an obsession, or do you think there really is some kind of need for it in their life?
You know, I did the same thing with pink. Pink is one of my favorite colors, and it's funny, my partner, when we were on my book tour, I would always wear a pink shirt. For an interview, I would wear pink, and the reason I'm drawn to it is that pink is the light of perfection and unconditional love. It's usually, you know, people who like to exude an energy of making people feel warm and feel connected are normally drawn to it, but I would repeat it over and over and over again, and it's like, you can't keep wearing that over and over again. You got to change it up a little bit, but it's that color I'm drawn to as well. With purple light is the color of leadership. It's the color of destiny, so I would imagine that she's probably, like, super independent. She wants people to know that she's, you know, regal, she carries a strong energy, she's connected to her destiny. But I think if there's a color that you're drawn to, it says something. And even more so, if there's a color you're repelled by, that says something as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I always find it interesting. So.
Yeah, me too.
So can you tell me if there was something that, someone told me that you could tell someone's profession or what they're meant to be by their color around them. Is that true? Someone
well,
told me that.
Certain energies, yeah. Like, you know, and this is where I've researched practice. Like, if I see a particular shade of green around someone, they do some kind of teaching. You know, if I see gold or yellow around the individual, 9 times out of 10, they're self-employed. If you're in a healing art, it leans more towards red or orange. Lawyers tend to be a purple tone. So, yeah, there are definitely industries or career types that will lean towards more of a color, but it's the energy dynamic. You know, okay. When I say gold is when a self-employed person, the reason for that is gold is the color of independence. That person doesn't really like being told what to do. They'd rather delegate tasks to other people. So that's something that I've learned. These are common threads or energies that I see around a particular personality type, and I've kind of memorized how that works.
Okay. Now we have Jackie here has a question for you. She's one of our other co-hosts.
Hey, Jackie, how are you doing?
Hey, Dougal, how are you?
I'm great, thanks.
I wasn't expected to come on and ask you, but okay, thanks, Sharon, for that. What about the color black? I mean, I hear different versions of it, but, you know, sometimes people wear it to make them look thinner, but what is your perspective on that?
Yeah, I do that often. Okay, so black, first of all, when I see black as an energy, it kind of looks like the stone obsidian. You know how that has like a little bit of like a, there's almost like a gold or silver, like metallic look to it? And the Hindus used to use an image for grounding in their meditation where they envision like a black pearl underneath their feet. Anything in the earth tones helps us bring our energy into the planet. So it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's a very grounding energy. I wouldn't use black to send to someone or to manifest, but I would use it personally to ground my energy into the planet. So if I'm dealing with someone who meditates too much or they're a little bit spacey or they're not as grounded, that's a color or visualization I give them a lot.
Oh, okay. Can I ask one more question, Dougal? Is there any color that you recommend people stay away from, or all colors up for grabs?
Every color has yin and yang. Every color has a positive and a negative to it. Like when I was talking about my attraction to pink, part of the issue with pink is that, yes, I exude an energy of unconditional love, but I'm totally nitpicky on myself. Like, I can be forgiving about everyone around me, but the negative or the heavier aspect of pink is I have a very hard time recognizing when I've done a good job. So every single color will have a positive and a negative aspect to it. You know, we talked about gold earlier. So that person's super independent. They need to learn how to connect with people and let people give to them. So if I take someone with red who is, you know, really good at emotionally connecting with people, I'd have them work with gold, whereas I'd have a gold person work with red to balance the energy out.
Oh, perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Dougal, I noticed on your list of things there was interior design. Now, was that like feng shui, or was it more just like something you help people rearrange things, or do you just do interior design?
Well, I've never studied like traditional feng shui or traditional interior design, but I definitely think your space is an interesting reflection of who you are and kind of what energy you're attracting to your life. You know, we've all had, you know, that time where you're dating someone and then you go to see their house or apartment and you're like, okay, this is interesting. Or, you know, people who can't make a decision and they don't paint any color on their wall, or there are no pictures, or there are no books. So there's something about your space that I think is a huge reflection of who you are. And if I'm dealing with someone that needs to change the energy, you know, let's say it's a couple that wants to have a baby, you know, we'll work with certain energies and colors in the bedroom in order to invoke passion and fertility. Or if they're starting a new business, there are certain colors that I'll suggest. So it's minor, really affordable changes that you can do to remind yourself of an energy. Like yesterday, I had a client who was feeling trapped in her anxiety, and she was going to be going on this business meeting, and she didn't want to get distracted, so I was having her work with silver. Silver light is the feminine aspect of God. It's a very calming, neutral energy, and I'll say things like, when you get to the restaurant, every time you pick up your silverware, it's going to remind you of that silver energy. If there's a lamp in the room that's silver, you're going to look for silver in every single aspect of that room and of your space, to bring yourself into that calming energy. So it's not the color of the wall that has power or the color of the pillows on your bed, but it's a way to remind your subconscious mind the tone that you're setting for your day and for your environment.
That's great. I like the way you use the silverware. That's really neat.
It's just a little way to get back into that energy.
Yeah, that was a good idea. Now, Dougal, we have Maureen is one of our co-hosts, and she wants to ask you a question. So here
okay,
she goes.
Hi, Maureen.
Hi, Dougal. This is Maureen. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Fine, and your show's just lovely. I wanted to ask you about the lighting in a home, because I use a lot of different lighting in my home.
It's funny, and speaking, Sharon, earlier of pink, all my light bulbs in my house are pink light bulbs. And I do that for two reasons. Everyone looks fantastic in pink lighting. You're a little bit tanner, it's just softer lighting, it looks good. But secondly, it also helps me see energy as well. So lighting is a huge thing. I was actually in Seattle this last weekend, and I teach people to see energy. And part of what we have to do is find a location where I can shift the lighting and dim it and stuff, because if you can soften the physical body's eyes, your third eye, it's a little bit easier to open up. But I love to play with lighting.
I know for my mood, I have to have a certain type of lighting in certain corners or certain areas, even when I'm working. It makes all the difference to me, or else it puts me in a grounding way, yeah.
Me too.
So
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Sure.
So, Dougal, I was just wondering, I was just thinking about animals for some reason. Now, are animals auras the same? I don't know if that's a silly question, but are they the same as humans?
It's not the same intensity with an animal, or even in plant life and stuff like that. The interesting thing about animals is animals are like sponges. They're so wide open, so they really ingest the energy of the room. So a lot of times an animal, like a dog or a cat, will reflect what's going on in the environment. So if the room is really soft and peaceful, their energy is aligned with that. If the room is tense, they seem to act the same way. So I can never tell, is the animal so connected that they're reflecting it back, or is that their mood as well? My guess, though, is that mostly they're kind of reflecting it back to us.
Oh, okay. That's different. When you were talking, my dogs were barking. That's so funny.
Well, I don't know about you, but this happens to me all the time, where my dog will sit under my desk during a reading, and for some of them, he's just fine, and he has no problem at all. And then other ones, he's like perched up on the chair, looking at me intently, and I'm like, well, you're connected to this person. It's so interesting to me, their response.
Yeah, they're great. Now, do you see, like, I know we're not allowed to talk about sickness and stuff, but do you see that in people's color? Like, if someone is ill, or do you help them with that?
Yeah, the word that I would use is, you know, one of the great things about being able to look into the aura is you perceive a blockage before it meets the physical body. You know, the soul is about 6 feet in diameter, so your energy is kind of spinning around you in that sphere. The farther away it is from the physical body, the earlier we can kind of remove it and get rid of it. But I definitely have seen blockages before, for sure, yeah. And that's a large part of my work. You know, what kind of visualization can we do? What emotionally needs to be expressed to remove that blockage? But definitely, I have seen that before.
Oh, okay. Now, I just wondered, did you ever have a favorite reading? Like, you know, I know sometimes I have favorite readings, but did you ever have a favorite one that you could share with us?
Have I ever had a favorite reading?
Is that hard?
Okay. I'll give you an example. There's a reading I talk about in my book with someone who became a good friend of mine who was trying really hard to adopt a child. And she had found a birth mother. I believe she was in Arizona at the time. And they had set this woman up in an apartment, and they were giving her money. And whenever we would process or talk about it, something about the situation didn't feel right. Long story short, she ended up finding out that this woman was not pregnant. She was just trying to take money from her. She had lied. She was really upset about it. And what I was trying to teach her was that I think she knew about it. So we processed when I said, when you first made connection with this woman, what happened? And she said, well, I got a letter in the mail, and it had a photo, and I opened up that photo, and I said, and when you looked at that photo, what was your first response? And she said, my first response was, she's a criminal. And I said, and what was your second response? And she said, my second response was, I'm being judgmental. And what we found out was she had a really clear psychic impression. Her first hit from the photo was criminal. Something's wrong. She's not being honest. And then her mind jumped in and went, oh, don't think that, you're being mean. And then it was months and months and months of money and energy and, you know, sadness and losing out on all that stuff. But I just remember that as being a really profound moment, you know, because one of the reasons I titled my book, But You Knew That Already, is I'm connecting with something that you already know. I'm just an outside observer trying to get you to believe in it and trust in yourself and those kinds of situations happen pretty regularly with me, where we connect with something and they feel it and they accept it and they know they have to make a decision about it. But that was a particular one that I thought was pretty remarkable.
Yeah, that is really good. And she knew on some level all along.
Exactly. Yeah. And don't you think in our daily lives we all know, our heart knows the best situation for us? But a lot of times our mind distracts us and says, well, I should stay in this relationship because it's better than nothing. Or I should take this job because what if something else doesn't come along? And I'm a big believer in the mind is important. You know, it drives the car, it pays the bills, it tells you not to touch the stove when it's hot. But when it comes to tuning into abundance and prosperity and spirituality, it's getting in touch with what the heart wants, what the heart's impressions are. And that's what I think really leads us to joy.
Mm-hmm. That's nice. Lead to joy. I like that. So I imagine you to be busy, busy, busy all the time. Do you go at this 24/7? Is this what you do all day?
I'm pretty busy. I'm reading right after I get off the phone with you guys. I've been really lucky. It's come to me pretty naturally, and I get to speak to people all over the world, and I really love my work. Nothing pleases me more than to hear what somebody else is working on and, you know, what their issues are, and together kind of learning. Every person that comes to me, I learn something from them, and I hope, you know, my intent is to give them guidance as well. But it's really been phenomenal. I feel very, very blessed.
Oh, that's great. Now, if someone was trying to get, like, to have a reading, can they just go onto your website and sign up, or did they have to call, or how did they go about doing that?
Yeah, there's a toll-free number, and I use an answering service that books all of my appointments, and that number is 1-877-936-8425.
Oh, okay, great. So just in case someone wants to get a hold of you. Now, when you're doing a reading, what percentage of it is color, and what percentage is it the other things? Like, is it sort of like a mixture, or is it mostly the color?
First 10 minutes, usually, you know, the first thing that will come out of my mouth is these are the one or two or sometimes three colors that I see around you. After that, I mentioned earlier cosmic charades. You know, if I need to talk about someone's sister, I see my sister. If I need to talk about, you know, if someone's having a real estate issue, I'll see my dad because he's in real estate. I find that the universe uses my mind as like a card catalog. It's like they flip through it and trying to find an image. I mean, sometimes it's random, and I'll see Victor Newman from The Young and the Restless, which I know makes absolutely no sense, but there's probably a Victor in that person's life. Sometimes it's very random.
That's great. Now, do you see through to the other side? Like, do you bring in people from spirit?
You know, I'm not a huge medium, and you know, I always say this joke that the dead always say the same thing: they're happy and they miss you. So it happens occasionally for me. I would say maybe once or twice a week during a reading, but I really try and focus on what's going on in people's lives, like relationships, career, prosperity, all that stuff. But mediumship is not really my specialty.
Oh, okay. Now, what do you think is the most asked question? Like, I know relationships is a biggie, but is it money or?
Hands down, number one. I mean, always, really. What fascinates me is people are obsessed with soulmates. If they're in a relationship, if they're out of a relationship, if they're looking for a relationship, if they just lost a relationship, human beings seem to have this feeling that there is one person out there that can complete them, which I don't believe at all. I think you can have a variety of soulmates. You know, God delivers doses of love in a variety of different ways. Sometimes it's 3 weeks, sometimes it's 3 years, sometimes it's 30 years. But a soulmate is someone who comes into your life and you have a connection and a lesson, and they inspire you to be the best that you can possibly be. If that stops, sometimes you have to move on, but the idea is to continue the relationship so that you're constantly motivating each other. But I would spend, I'd say, 80% of my week talking about relationships.
Okay, yeah, and I think that's normal for psychics.
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
We get a lot of that too. Now, are you teaching any classes or anything that you can tell our listeners about, classes or courses or anything?
Yeah, the next class that I'm teaching is at the Omega Institute in June. John Holland, Colette Baron-Reed, myself, and Danielle McKinnon, we're doing a whole weekend. I like to call it Psychic Palooza. It's going to be fun because there will be an animal intuitive, there will be mediums, there will be me that works with color. So it'll be a whole different cross-section of how you can perceive energy and how they complement each other and utilize all of it. But that's the next big event that I have coming up.
Oh, okay. And now, is there anything you love to teach better than others? Like, what are you passionate about teaching?
My favorite thing to teach is the aura workshop that I teach. People seem to be really fascinated by the fact that I see color. So I do a very small, intimate group. It's about 12 to 14 participants, and I pair you up with a stranger. And they're usually pretty long days. It's from about 11 to 6. But by the end of the day, you will have seen an aura. Most people kind of tap into a past life. And together, we read for your partner, where I coach you through it and teach you how to do it. And the most profound things come out of people's mouths. And they're always shocked by it, because I think most people assume that being a psychic or being intuitive is like this gifted thing. And I really believe everybody can do it every day. And most people show up to the workshop thinking this is never going to work. And even I get worried. I think, oh, God, what if they don't see an aura? But at the end of the day, everybody sees energy. And it's really cool to realize and witness that you've been doing it all along. You just weren't aware of the fact that it was happening. Like, we've all had that experience of the phone ringing, and you think of your mom, and you pick it up, and it's your mom. But the goal is to realize that's happening before you get to the end of the story. Like, I perceive that that's my mom on the other line of the phone. You pick it up, and then you confirm it. And that's what I teach people to do.
Oh, okay. Now, do you do that with, I know that I took a spiritualist class once, and we did it with white walls. Like, don't give away your secrets, but is it something like
totally
that?
Right. Or I can't tell you how many times I've shown up to a city when we've rented the space, and it'll be like floral wallpaper and recessed lighting. I'm like, oh my God. White walls help tremendously. If anybody's listening, take a friend, dim the lights, just kind of soft candle lights. Sit in front of a white wall for like 20 minutes maintaining eye contact, and you will totally see energy. It helps tremendously. It's not necessary, but it really does help to have a neutral color behind them.
Mm-hmm. That's good, yeah. And now, is there anything people, I get a lot of requests, I'm so poor, I got this. Is there anything people can, like, visualize a color maybe to bring money? Again, don't tell your secrets.
But, well, here's the thing with abundance. I don't think there's a color per se that would attract cash or money. When someone's trying to attract abundance, what I try to get them to focus on is, what's the feeling that you want? Like, when I put Oprah on my vision board, it's not about meeting Oprah. It's the energy behind her. I think of her as someone who's financially free. I think of someone that's walking in her power. I think of someone that's kind of in control of her day and spiritually connected. It's not about that person. So if you're trying to create money, I would get people to try and think about being rich and abundant in the now. You can feel opulent and decadent and supported and clear right in that moment, and that headspace will attract abundance to you. But if you send out to the universe, I need $100,000, I need $100,000, or whatever it is, you're too attached to it. It's a specific number, and I think that that can create a blockage. So it's more the headset. It's the energy. When you walk through the grocery store, head tall, be regal, go through a beautiful department store and know that you belong there, and those energies will help attract abundance.
Oh, okay. I read somewhere the other day about face, that I think it's the Chinese do the face, to keep your face clean, and it's almost like that will set your day. So it's sort of the same
Absolutely.
Thing, right? Like, dress accordingly or...
Everything, human beings are ceremonial by nature. If I order a pizza and have dinner on paper plates watching TV, I'm slouched, I'm not feeling as good. But on Thanksgiving, we pull out the fine china, we light candles, we put beautiful linens on the table, and everyone acts and stands differently. So every moment, the way you dress yourself, the way you shake someone's hand, everything is energy. So your intent and the tone that you set attracts that to you. So everything that I do, I try to make very sacred and fun and joyful and light, and that has helped me in my life attract abundance. But if I go to a city and think, well, I need 100 people, and what if I don't get enough readings? No one will show up. But if I go to a city and think I'm going to have fun and I'm going to feel great and it's going to be wonderful, there's typically a line out the door.
Yeah, that's true. So we're just going to take a commercial break. So okay. We'll be back in 1 minute after a word from our sponsor, Psychic Access.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We are living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking to Dougal Fraser, and we're talking about color right now, about auras. And Dougal, can we wear certain colors to create a different, like a different day for ourselves?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it depends on the day. If I'm feeling tired, you know, I would use kind of a lighter color green because that's the color of the earth. It's the color of giggles. It's the color of vitality and health and wellness. If I'm going to a business meeting, I tend to use purples because those colors help me command a sense of leadership and confidence. You know, I'll see purple around heads of state or the CEO of a company. So absolutely. Again, it's not the shirt or the sweater that has power. It's setting the intention and reminding your subconscious mind, when I see purple, I feel this way. When I use green, I'm invoking my life force. So absolutely, when you dress with color, it says something about who you are, and it says something about what you're projecting.
Okay. Now, Jackie, she has a question for you. So here's Jackie again.
Okay. Sorry, I just, you know, my brain's working overtime, these things come up. But I do have a question, Dougal. I know for me personally, I find that I choose the same colors. Like if I go shopping for clothes and it's like, even if I have 5 other colors of the same shirt, I'll still pick another one.
Yeah.
Do you have any intake on what that's all about, or other people who've shared that same story?
Well, what's the color, Jackie? What are you drawn to now?
Black.
Is it really black?
Yeah, actually.
Okay. So, I mean, first of all, you live in the East Coast, so, I mean, most New Yorkers wear black, and I did the same thing when I lived in Manhattan, and I think the reason for that is when there are more people around you, it's kind of like we're trying to pull in. So a lot of times, highly sensitive people or highly emotional people, they want to wear black just for that grounding that we were talking about earlier. I think it would be interesting for you to do a polar opposite and maybe wear like black pants and a white shirt to see what kind of energy you feel differently, what your day is like, just to kind of pull yourself out of that. But absolutely, I go through, I said earlier on my book tour, David was like, stop wearing pink. You know, every video is going to be you in pink. I'm in the total purple phase right now. When we were getting married, I was obsessed with orange. The colors at our wedding were orange. I think part of that is orange is the color of balance and perception. I was worried about our families getting along, and I wanted everyone to feel connected. So there are totally times when colors will repeat themselves over and over again because I'm in a certain phase.
Mm. Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Sure. That's interesting. Now, Dougal, sometimes I have clients and they're going to an interview, and for some reason I've always had this in my head that they should wear something red under their clothes because I don't even know where that came from. Does that make any sense to you? Like I always say, wear a red ribbon under your clothes for power, hidden power. Does that make any sense to you?
Well, yeah. I mean, if it's a ruby red, it's definitely the color of the emotional body. It comes from the heart center. So I think people want to feel connected to who they are. So that's a good, you know, visualization and reminder. I know in, you know, Chinese culture, they use red as luck. And, you know, so if you go to a wedding, everybody's giving their gift in a red envelope or in red packaging. So, again, it's a positive energy that you're sending. For me, though, if I'm suggesting red to people, it's usually about being passionate or connected to the heart.
Okay. I don't even know where that came from, so it's funny that I've just carried it over. Now, when you were younger, did you ever want to be something else? Like, did you wake up, you know, did you just, you know, was there something else you wanted to be, or was it just you just never thought about it?
Well, I used to say that I wanted to be a baker, but I think that's because I was a chubby kid and I liked to eat, so I wanted to be in an environment around food. And then when I was in high school, I always knew that I wanted to be a healer of some sort. But I thought I was going to go in the world of, like, acupuncture, and I was a massage therapist for a period of time. I was a terrible massage therapist because I'm way too chatty, and no one wants your massage therapist to be talking during the hour. But just about every career that I've ever been drawn to, it's always been about helping someone. So that's where I think free will comes in. I could have become a therapist. I could have become a guidance counselor at a school. I could have become a minister. But the tone of who I am as a being, whether I'm in a professional environment or even out to dinner with friends, is I like to talk about people's stuff. So I've always kind of naturally been drawn to that.
Oh, okay. That's great. Now, did you have anything that you wanted to share with our readers, like in, you know, something about, you know, I don't know, is there anything that you wanted to share with everyone?
Well, you know, the one thing that I really like to talk about over and over and over again is how I believe the best psychic out there for someone is themselves. You know, when a client approaches me, I always say I'm probably about 80% accurate with what I can connect with, because your life lessons, your goals, your direction in life is really between you and the Creator. And so if you tune into that, you'll see it 100%. But when a psychic steps in, it's kind of like reading a book jacket. I get the theme and the outline. I know some of the major players, and I can steer you in the right direction. But at the end of the day, we as people have to read the part of the book. We have to go chapter through chapter through our life in order to attain, you know, prosperity and abundance and love and all of those things. So I always think it's really important for people to focus on tuning in themselves. Not always about going to another person for the information, which is a terrible thing to say for business, but it's the truth.
Yeah, no, it's true. You have to trust your heart. Now, yeah. Steve is a co-host, and he has a question for you.
Hi, Dougal.
Hi, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. Just taking in all of the information you're giving everybody. Dougal, I'm always really interested to ask people and ask psychics when they first became aware of their ability, and just how that played out.
Well, first of all, Steve, I'm obsessed with your accent, and I want you to talk for the rest of the hour. This is a great question. Okay, so my first impressions, when I was a child, my mother, she'd hate me for saying this, but she had a personality disorder, still does. So I can remember sitting in the kitchen and her saying that she felt happy, but feeling and knowing that that wasn't really true. And so part of the reason I think I developed my abilities so quickly was I would walk home from school, or I would walk through the house trying to separate the difference from what people said was going on versus what I actually felt. So in the beginning, a large part of it had to do with emotion. You know, my dad might say this, or my sister might say that, or my grandmother might say another thing, but my perception was very different from what was actually going on in the room.
Well, that's really interesting, because I can never remember what I've said in a reading, and often I can't remember what people actually said to me in conversation, or my recollection of the conversation is not the same as theirs.
Exactly, yeah, I do the exact same thing, especially if I'm doing a lot of work. I mean, people will call and, you know, they'll say things that I said, and I'm like, wow, God, that sounds great, but I have no recollection of actually saying it. Even though I was conscious in the room, my eyes were open, I was there, but I think when you're so connected to the energy, that information or that knowledge is just kind of pouring through you, and that's a very kind of meditative space to be in.
And do you think, Dougal, that it's partly because we go into an altered state of consciousness when we're reading?
Absolutely. And a lot of times it's because the knowledge isn't really for me. You know, if that person comes to me and I'm talking about the intimate details and aspects of their life, and, you know, the universe is delivering information, it really has nothing to do with me. I may be in the room and, you know, the vehicle, so to speak, but sometimes I think it's just kind of pouring through. if it's something that relates to my life and something that I also have to work on, I'll remember that sentence, you know, like it's written in stone. but if it's a lesson that's not really related to me, I don't remember it at all. I'll remember the energy of the room. I'll remember what that person wore. I'll remember where they were sitting. But the details of what we talked about, it's kind of lost to me.
That's fascinating. Well, thank you, Dougal. I appreciate your insight.
So, now, Dougal, do you ever deal with past lives? Like, I know you mentioned it before when you were doing the auras. Like, do you ever do past life readings or anything like that?
Yeah, sometimes, certainly, if there's a, you know, a blockage, you know, if someone keeps having a pattern of, you know, losing money or issue with finance, I find that, you know, a past life will pop up, you know, as to maybe why they have kind of a poverty consciousness or abandonment issues, for sure. But again, I usually try and bring it back to what's going on in the moment. Like, I think it's an interesting thing that can kind of flash up, and that's part of your history and part of your karma. But I always think it's important to get into the now and focus on how that's playing out today.
Oh, okay. Now, you know how some people, they get really negative and they can't seem to get out of their funk. What would you be suggesting for them?
Well, typically there's some kind of a payoff there. I think a lot of times negativity or anxiety, that makes a lot of human beings feel alive. Unfortunately, we live in a culture that supports that. You know, you never hear in the weather that it's a beautiful day. You know, everything's a natural disaster. The world is falling apart. The money, and then, you know, we're constantly bombarded with heaviness. And I think we absorb that. So I'm a big believer in periodically throughout the day disconnecting to find my bliss. Sometimes that's taking my dog for a walk. Sometimes that's preparing a lovely lunch and sitting outside. Sometimes it's meditating. But if you find yourself getting hooked in that cycle of anger or negativity, I can guarantee that's not going to work for you as far as manifesting good things. So you have to change it up. What are the people, places, news outlets or things in your life that keep bringing that negativity to you? And if you slowly remove or shift those things around, you'll notice that your day and your energy will start to change as well.
Okay. So it's almost like have periodic moments of bliss, sort of like throughout the day.
I mean, I do little mini meditations. I don't always have to like sit in the lotus position or something like that, but you know, sometimes I just need to get out of my office and go for a walk around the block, or just change the energy up so that I can find that bliss again. But absolutely, it's really important.
Oh, that's great. Now, I'm just trying to think. Is there, like, if someone wanted to get your book, they can get it from your website?
Absolutely, yeah. The paperback version is actually coming up pretty soon. It should be out in a couple of months. But you can go to my website. You can go to Amazon. If you search really hard, you can probably find it at a half-price bookstore. But, yeah, there are a variety of ways you can find it.
Oh, okay. Because it's not as available up here in Canada, so we'll have to hopefully people are listening
so
and they can get it.
I haven't been to Canada in a long time, but I love Canada. Anytime I've come there for work, it's been really wonderful.
Oh, do you? Well, I hope you come up here. It'd be nice to go to one of your classes or something like that. It would be good. Now, so we have like a few minutes left, and I'm just wondering, is there anything else that you wanted to chat about, or?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, okay. We'll just keep going. Now I'm thinking, you know, we talked about relationships and people trying to find someone, their soulmate and stuff like that. Is there any suggestions?
Yeah, I mean, I always think that self-love and respect of self is the best way for you to attract a relationship to you. You know, I talked earlier about how a lot of people that come to see me have this belief that another individual will complete them, and I don't believe that thought. The truth is, if you are a whole unified being, a self-sufficient, self-loved individual, you will attract another person like that. It's two unified beings that unite, that can inspire each other and help move each other forward. So I think, you know, tell people who you are. Ask someone out on a date. Initiate conversation. Make eye contact. Be open with your strengths and your weaknesses, and that's how you attract someone to you who will be of like-minded consciousness. I'm a big proponent of like personal ads, because you're setting the intention. You have to describe who you are. You have to describe what you're looking for, and then energy follows thought, and thought directs energy. So if you put something on the internet, lots of people are reading it, and they're sending it out there for you, and you're all trying to do it at the same time, and it's like tapping into that group consciousness.
Yeah, and you know, I always find the universe has a little bit of a sense of humor, so it's when you're not looking that someone comes along.
I mean, so. The universe has a huge sense of humor, but I totally agree, yeah.
I know, I heard one psychic say, you know, God always gets his way, so you just got to go with it.
That's it. And one of the things I always tell people is whatever you're trying to create in your life and you set your intention for, it will probably happen. But the universe's little joke is they like to change up the order. It rarely comes in the order that you expect it to.
Mm-hmm. And I find there's always a little test just before the end. It's like,
oh,
how
God,
much faith
that's
you
great
have.
Joy.
Yeah, so that's great. Well, I want to thank you so much, Dougal, for allowing us to talk to you. And I've had such a great time.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
It was great. So, good stuff. All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
So to contact Dougal, you can visit his website at DougalFraser.com and contact the information in our guest page at Psychic Access Talk Radio. So now I'm thinking there's a commercial right now, but I just want to check. So we're just going to have a little commercial break. Let's see here. And now I would just like to take a moment. Okay, I'd like to take a moment to have for a few announcements. So be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com site to learn about everything from reincarnation to the how-tos of psychic development. If you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best certified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and to choose from the list of some of the most authentic gifted psychics around. It is our honor to be working with Doug and the Psychic Access because of the high expectations required of each psychic. All of the co-hosts here are on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com work at Psychic Access, and if you would like a personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us at PsychicAccess.com. We'd love to hear from you. By the way, site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents per minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to PsychicAccess.com. For more details, visit PsychicAccess.com/webmasters. If you like our show, please invite your friends to join us in our chat room and listen to The Psychic View. There is something for everybody, so please spread the word. We very much appreciate it. The call-in number for readings at the end of the show is 724-444-4851. So now, this is the time where we have a little bit of chat with all of our other co-hosts. And I have Jackie here. Hi, Jackie.
Hey, Sharon. Great job. Good show.
Thank you. Now, tell us how you interpret colors in your readings.
Well, you know, it was interesting when I started my developing of my my psychic skills and practicing and really getting, you know, honing it the best I can. One of the things I was taught was just trust whatever you get, even if it doesn't make sense and even if you don't understand it, you know, the person probably will. So when I was practicing it, you know, I held back, but then what happened was when I opened up and shared, because I was taking turns with somebody, I said, you know, I saw the color blue, and he's like, oh, that would make sense, and he kind of shared how it made sense to him. But to really get to the question, the way I interpret colors is I associate them with the chakras. So blue for me is the throat. It's communicating. It's verbalizing, speaking out, speaking your truth. So that's the way I read the information. So even though the reading I was giving to this guy was talking about, you know, communicating, and then I mentioned in hindsight that I saw the color blue, he was able to connect the dots. So that was my experience, but I do want to share with everybody listening, you know, if you want, like Dougal was saying, you know, we all have this gift or this ability. You know, he's much more advanced, and you know, people here on Psychic Access, we do it all the time. But one thing I just want to share is that if you are looking to develop your, you know, your sixth sense and your intuitive gifts, trust what you get. Don't let the ego jump in and talk you out of it and say, now you're full of you know what. Practice it. It's fun. And certainly practice with somebody who's open-minded and will give you good feedback and, you know, and that can kind of confirm what you're getting as well. So I know that's a long answer, but I wanted to share that. I think the angels were nudging me. So anyway, apologize, but anyway, so
that's great.
There you go. There you have it.
Okay, Jackie, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Maureen, can you tell us about epilepsy and auras, please?
I sure can. the reason being because of my, I'm always letting everybody know my business, and I'm really upfront about it, and I'm not ashamed of it. But when I was younger, and I still do, but not as much, epilepsy. But I have the mild. But what happened is, it's really interesting because, you know, people in the science, especially science, has talked. There's a lot of science saying, well, do auras, can people really see them? But science has revealed for some people, and especially with someone like me that I've experienced, that they can see auras. And people who have had visual system disorder or a brain disorder or a certain form of epilepsy or suffer from migraines, auras are in the eyes of the beholder and not physically related to the object that they are looking at. So when I would have these episodes, what would happen would be, one time, my eyes turned blue. I was with a friend. I was running from my epilepsy seizure I didn't know any better at the time. But I would see all sorts of colors coming out from every, but also my eyes actually, and I don't have blue eyes, everybody, but my eyes actually went blue, and it felt like at the time there was a white sheet that had been thrown across over my eyes before I hit the ground anyway. And it's like a kaleidoscope effect, and this will happen right before the seizure really comes on, and it's you'll have simmering sensations of colors or bright lights and everything, and zigzags and tunnel visions and dark spots. It's like a curtain-like effect over the eye, like I said also. Now, so epilepsy and auras, people go, well, what does that have anything to do with auras? But it does. Auras can represent not just colors, but it's a sense of feeling. He talked about that a bit, but it also gives a warning to someone like me if I'd felt something or if I'd see a color. It's like a color around me or the feeling actually of the color as well. I would know to brace myself and just sit still and not run from it. So it's quite interesting, and they've also trained dogs for people with epilepsy to help the people understand so they can help them get safety, grounded, you know, ground themselves so they're not running away from it. But I would like to point out one more thing. He was talking about purple, and I remember in the very beginning he was talking about purple. And, you know, I used to do Renaissance fairs. I just wanted to bring this up. And the Renaissance fairs where they're very particular about you couldn't use anything, any type of material that wasn't from that period. They would throw your butt out. Everything had to be just so. And the queen was the only person that was allowed to wear for like the weekend we'd be up at this, you know, country thing. She would be the only one allowed to wear purple because it is royalty color, by the way. He was talking about that regal. Now, one more thing, even the bees see flowers differently than the humans, the colors. And we, you know, so you know how they go for the different flowers and they get their little yummies. And so there, that's it.
Yeah. Oh, that's neat. I like the queen business. That's really interesting.
I know epilepsy is not weird, but yeah. It's an interesting thing for people that.
That's cool. So, Steve. Oh, sorry.
No,
thanks,
I'm just
Maureen.
It's really cool how it built. I'm just laughing at myself, okay?
Oh, okay. We'll keep laughing. Steve, when did you first start seeing auras?
Well, I became aware of energy movements and energy changes, first of all. And it was really, when I was a kid, prior to seeing spirit, or when spirit manifests themselves, I would always see and feel the energy changing in the room or in the atmosphere. And as the energy built up, I would see, start, would begin like specks of dust. Do you think you're seeing specks of dust moving, and then they get larger and quite wispy, and the energy would build, and it would build ultimately enough to actually manifest as a person in the spirit world. And as I would watch, I would see different colours appearing around the spirit people. And then I realized that if I softened my eyes looking at regular people and looking at regular objects, animals, the environment, that you can actually see energy, you can see colors, and you can see them change. And that's how it was for me.
Wow, that's cool. I know I had I got a subliminal tape once and seeing auras, but nothing happened.
There are actually specific exercises you can do to start seeing auras, and I'll mention that later on.
Oh, okay, that's good. Thanks, Steve. So, Jackie, how does wearing clothes with specific colors affect your chakras?
Well, for me, and as I was saying earlier about the colors, the way I associate the colors with the chakras, is to be able to balance more of the chakra. You know, I encourage, you know, for example, the root chakra being red, wearing that color. And you know what? The color in itself is a frequency. It is a vibration. But beneath all that, there really is the intention that I believe one would mention as well, because if you think about it, colors in and of themselves definitely have a vibration, but if we're showing up, you know, this is, you know, what Dougal was saying about, you know, our responsibility, you know, it's like taking anything, we could almost diffuse it if we're not intentional consciously of what it is we want to, you know, utilize the color for. So while the colors do work with the chakras, the way I interpret them, if the person, number one, doesn't believe it, well, then I would go into, you know, plan B, for example. But I always make it clear that, you know, where are they coming from? What is their intention? Is this something that they're willing to try? And not to, you know, get them to believe or change them in any way. But I do believe a lot of it has to do with the person's personal power and, you know, what it is that they're looking to get from it. I know Dougal, interesting, you also mentioned there really wasn't any color associated with money. You know, sort of like the energy and what's symbolic of it, like, you know, symbolic of Oprah Winfrey, for example, and how, you know, he sees her as, you know, somebody with, you know, financial freedom and all that. I do definitely believe that, what he's saying, but I also believe that the beliefs that we carry are so much powerful as well. And if we believe, hey, green is, you know, money grows on trees, who's to say we can't believe that? Maybe one day we'll be outside in the forest and find money on the ground. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of fun to play with those things, but I think the bottom line is the beliefs and coming from that. Because we have lots of tools and things we can provide to our clients, but if they're not all there, I don't know how much of it would be productive.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Now, It seemed that was a really interesting subject for you, eh, Jackie? Like all the colors? Like it seems like something you really resonated with.
Yeah, I really do, because I do believe that, and I believe colors in and of themselves are from it's the gifts that we receive from the universe. You know, that reminds me of that movie, was it Smallville? That one movie where everything was in black and white with Tobey Maguire and Reese Witherspoon, I think. And it's kind of funny. I don't remember the gist of it, but if you think about looking at it from, you know, this doom and gloom sort of black and white, you know, colorless, there's so much beauty in color, and it's everywhere. And I think sometimes we just, you know, take it for granted, and I don't know where I'm going with this, but it's just amazing. It's just amazing. But I really feel strongly about the personal power, the intentions, the beliefs, you know, getting deep into the core of people and who they are, and then providing, you know, different tools from the toolbox to help them, you know, manifest and bring to them what they desire. So.
Yeah. That's great. That's great. So,
thank you.
Thanks for asking, Jackie. Okay. Maureen, you have an interesting story about auras before death of an individual. Can you enlighten us on that?
Yeah, well, it's not so much interesting. It was sad, but and being a sensitive call me what you want. All I know is what I know, and feeling intense. It was being in the presence of a dying person is truly humbling. It really is. And I had a very dear friend who was a business partner of mine. This was in the late 80s, early 90s. And he was unfortunately dying from a very sad bone cancer, which is very, very painful if everybody knows anything about that. But it's one of the worst things. But right before... I was with him, and right before he died, like an hour after this, but he had been just pretty much not saying much of anything and been all drugged up. But what happens is, I was noticing in the atmosphere, being in the it's intense being with somebody that's is dying, but there's a lot of it's uncomfortable, of course, for anybody, but it can be difficult on a personal level to see what's happening because of the person that the death process, and especially on a spiritual energy level. But the heaviness in the atmosphere around a dying person can also cause some perplexing emotions to manifest within those exposed to it. But because we become emotionally drained and exposed. But what happened was so interesting was what I saw was beautiful because... The atmosphere intensifies as the moment of death nears, and he was getting nearer, and so the source power can be incredibly strong, but it was almost like there was a greater light being cast through a briefly opened doorway flowing from a higher level reality. It was unbelievable. And from one of the spirit worlds or heavens or whatever you want to, like I said, all I know is what I know. It's not about what I believe, but it was intense, and a lot of times it's unseen light from mortal eyes. But not only that is, he was looking at me, and he had not been able to really communicate. He was pretty unresponsive, but he started waving his arms up around his head, and he tried to talk, and he's seeing light, and he kept looking at me and pushing it towards me. And I think what he was trying to say is he was seeing beauty, and his eyes were wide open, and he was looking at above my head. He looked like he was seeing something wonderful, like light. He must have been seeing a bunch of different colors all surrounding. And then about an hour after that, he did die, and where I was there present. So it was quite interesting. I'll never forget it. And it was quite humbling. But
yeah, it sounds quite beautiful, actually.
It was. And then it was bittersweet, but it was unbelievable. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Maureen. So we'll be right back. We're just going to take a small commercial break after a word from our sponsor, PsychicAccess.com.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic Access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We're just talking to our co-host and asking certain questions. And we're going to talk to Steve for a moment. Steve, how do you interpret the colors of the aura?
Well, I think, Sharon, Dougal gave excellent information about some of the different colors in the aura and what certain colors signify. I'm really becoming increasingly interested in crystals and stones and understanding the qualities of different crystals and stones and finding that there is a clear link between the properties and the meaning of a certain crystal with a particular color and one of the chakras or one of the colors associated with the chakras. So it's really good to learn about crystals, about the chakras, and the spiritual meaning of different colors. When I asked my guides this question quite some years ago, they said to me that the aura changes, and as you look at the aura, you'll see the colors changing. You see some of them merging, blurring, and I always try to just trust in spirit. So if you're looking at somebody's aura, and particularly if you're reading for a client, from their aura, then ask spirit to tell you what those colors and what the movements mean in the context of that person. They say test the spirits, and I really like that expression, because, you know, when we're working with spirit, we can ask for more information. We can ask what the yellow signifies. We can ask why the green is becoming blue as we look at somebody's aura. And spirit give the answers by placing the information in our mind's eye, or speaking to us and telling us what it means for that client.
Well, that's good. So sort of challenge what's out there, sort of.
Absolutely. I always say ask for more. I always ask spirit for more information, a better understanding. And, you know, we can learn what colors signify, but when we're reading somebody's aura, it's really useful to say to spirit, please help me understand what this aura means and what's going on with this person, as Dougal explained before.
Mm-hmm. And people forget they're supposed to ask, because they can't just give the information. So that's good advice, Steve.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Now, Jackie, can anyone see auras?
No. I'm sorry. I guess I could be a bit of a wise guy. I believe so, yes. And, you know, and it's very simple. I feel when we're not focusing or trying so hard, it's almost like in a peripheral vision. So when we, the way I saw it, and it was funny, I actually wasn't even trying to look. It just sort of happened. I was kind of in this daydream, and I was looking off to the side, and I was in a different place. So I wasn't really focused. And all of a sudden, I saw like a golden yellow around the person's head. And I was like, oh my God, like I was amazed, because I wasn't trying, but it happened. So I think with a little bit of, I know Dougal was saying about sort of setting the stage with the light, you know, being in a room where there's a white background, it certainly helps that process. Sorry about that. It certainly helps that process much more easier to happen. So I do believe we all can. I all believe, like I said, we all have that intuition, that those sort of inner knowing, the sixth sense, I like to call it. Yeah. And yes, and that's all part of that realm.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's so great.
Yeah, I definitely believe
that. I wonder if it comes and it goes. Like, I wonder if people, it comes sometimes and...
I think so. You know, it's interesting. We may have touched on this in the interview, but, you know, I heard that everything has an aura. Everything is energy. Rocks, trees, plants, and things of that nature. So I believe that. Some things are probably easier to see since we're more alive. You know, we can see that, but I don't know about, looking at something that's, where the, you know, they say with the energy, where the molecules are more condensed. So, for example, I don't want to say a piece of furniture, but you know what I'm saying? Some things are much easier to see than others.
Mm-hmm. I kind of had this vision of him walking around and all this color, and just as he moves, you know, it all this color moves with him.
Right, like a trail of color, you know, sort of like, it was this movie. Oh, I can't remember. I'm losing my train of thought. There was a movie where they're showing two people interacting, and they sort of show their energies meshing. And this one guy who was approaching a woman, he was really interested in her, and it shows how his energy was so much more stronger than hers. I can't think of the name, darn it. But it was interesting to see on that level, because some of us don't really understand kind of what's going on. But when you look at it from the energetic perspective and seeing the auras, how somebody's dominant energy really can overpower somebody else. So it's pretty interesting stuff. If I think of the movie, I'll put it in the chat room, but I can't think of it.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Jackie.
Sure.
So now I just want to remind everybody the number for the readings is 724-444-4851. So now Steve, how do people develop their ability to perceive auras?
Well, the first thing I always say to people, Sharon, is ask spirit. if you want to develop your abilities, just inform spirit that you that's your intention. And as soon as we express a desire to develop spiritually, to develop our sixth sense, whether that's to hear clairaudiently or to see auras, as soon as we express that desire, our guides move in and they want to help us. They won't do that without us setting the intention, but when we do set the intention, they want to help, because it's beneficial to have these abilities. We can make a great difference by developing our talents and our psychic talents. So I say the first thing to do is set the intention and ask your guides to help you. There are a number of exercises to develop the ability to see auras. I know we've got quite a lot of information on psychicbloggers.com, but I always say to people, just sit still, and it's like a form of meditation. Sit still and relax your eyes, really relax the muscles around your eyes, relax your eyeballs, and you start to see energy moving. And when you start to see energy moving, it's really exciting, and the more you practice it, the more you relax, the more you see, and you will see auras around not only people, but animals, plants, and different objects. And you'll also get a clear feeling in your mind's eye about what you're seeing and what the interpretation is.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. Relax your eyeballs, because that's only a psychic would know what that means. That's perfect. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
So we've come to the part of the show where we'll be taking your calls and questions. You can either call in or ask your question in the chat room. However, we do have to take the call-ins first due to the wait time. The call-in number for your free reading is 724-444-4851. Again, the number is 724-444-4851. Please be aware that each call will automatically be placed on hold and will be answered in the order it is received. Please relax and listen to the show while you wait. Please be very specific and direct with your question, as this will allow for us to better connect with your situation. So we have a caller now from New Jersey. Hello? Hello? Hi.
May I catch you?
Are you from New Jersey? Okay. Can I have your name, please?
Can you hear me?
Yes. What's your name, please?
Debne.
Okay. Jackie's going to answer. Jackie's going to answer your question. Can you?
You there?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Debne.
Hi. Can I take you my question?
Oh, you're a little choppy. Is your computer turned down, Debne?
Oh, mute.
Hmm.
Down your radio.
I'm trying to do that now. Can I text you my question?
Sure, as long as it's... Yeah, if you turn down your background noise, I think your computer, because there's sort of an echo with our show in the background, and then we can move forward.
I'm trying to get rid of it now. Okay, is that better?
A little bit, yes, yes. I want to be able to hear your question so I can help you.
Yeah?
That's fine.
I'm a Texan.
Go ahead, Jersey girl.
Hey! I'm moving to Maryland now. Okay, I'm texting it now.
Jackie, is she texting it?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm doing it now.
Oh, because you can ask now. You can ask your question now.
Yeah, sorry, Sharon. Yeah, you can talk to me. It's okay.
Okay. I have to go in another room now.
Okay, go ahead, honey.
Okay, my question is, how much longer do I have to wait to hear from my best friend, Francine?
Okay, your best friend, Christine?
Francine. Yeah, Steve is there. He knows Francine.
Okay.
How much longer do I have to wait?
Okay, so I guess you guys had a falling out, and now you're wanting to hear from her?
Exactly.
Alrighty. Okay, so this is good stuff. All right, So, my dear, the first thing the guides are bringing through is they want me to acknowledge you and your assertiveness, because this is something you've been working on, and I'll get to your question, but I'd like to give sort of the background so you can understand what's going on and kind of bring that to your attention. I feel that there's still some sort of like doubt that you may have, or you're questioning what transpired before this sort of disconnect with your friend. But they want me to tell you very clearly that everything you did was okay, and don't let go, don't hold on to it being a mistake or being there's something wrong with it. So the first thing is letting go of there being anything wrong in the first place, because this idea of you being assertive is huge, and they want to acknowledge you and saying good for you. You know, I just see them sort of, you know, cheering you on and really congratulating you for taking that step. I feel that the falling out needed to happen. It needed to sort of shake things up, because you were in a place where you're like, I just need to say something and get it off my chest. This person, she will come around. I don't feel like it's tomorrow, but just let it sit with her. Let it sort of just, what's the word? Marinate. I don't know why they're saying that. she will come around, but it's got to kind of run its course. But she will come around. But for you personally, this was just so important. Like, this was a really big step for you about being yourself and stepping into your power, you know, and really speaking your truth. Because that's something that's been a difficult thing for you to do. And it's almost like, well, now that I've done that, should I have not done that because of what happened? But I'm here to tell you that it's okay, and what you did was fine. And she will come around. Just give it a little bit of time.
Okay. So patience.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I know we want things yesterday and all that, but if it helps, you know, you may want to also just sort of kind of just send her some light and just, you know, keep her in a place of, you know, that you're thinking of her, you know, just say, hey, well, I'm thinking of you. And when she comes around, she'll come around.
Okay.
But it's not forever. You know, it's just, it needed to happen, but at the same time, she's thinking of you, and she's sort of just, you know, kind of working through her own stuff at the same time. So it's hard to put a timeline on it, but I energetically don't feel it's going to be much longer. You know, it's when you're sort of unexpected and you're kind of busy living your life and doing things, then all of a sudden you'll hear from her and you're like, oh, wow, you know, that was nice. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you guys will move forward from there and just sort of hash things out.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Hang in there.
Okay. That's it?
Okay. Sure. Bye-bye. You're welcome.
Well, thank you, Jackie. That was great. Now, we have a call from Maryland. Are you there?
This is Kathleen. Yes, I am.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi, Kathleen. Maureen is going to answer your call tonight. Maureen?
Hi, Kathleen. How are you?
Hello. Good, and you?
I'm ready for you.
Good. Thanks for taking my call. I have just a couple. I'm interested in definitely my aura. I don't know if that's something that if you were one that reads auras, so that would be interesting to me. And then I had questions about my work.
Okay. your aura, your work. Okay, first of all, I'm just going to start with what I'm getting first. Your work situation looks like it's in there's changes, big changes, and there's chaos around it, but you're not, it's chaos around you, I see. There's big changes, and it's time, you know what, there's a lot of yellow I see around you. And, your work situation, I think that it's a good opportunity if you haven't already decided to seek out somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that I think they're going to get rid of you, but a lot of people are freaking out thinking that there's like downsizing or merging or something going on. Is it a large company? Does that make sense to you?
It is a relatively large company. But the people that I work for, they seldom make changes with the people. It's not a government environment or anything like that, but I just, they usually keep you, and you know, you have to really do something really bad in order to
be acknowledged.
To be acknowledged, and it's very competitive, and everybody, there's been like ups and downs where people are backstabbing or just feeling insecure is what I think, what I sense.
Yeah, and I think that's what it is going on around you, and that's very stressful to be around that as well. There is something, you know, I see yellow and gold and yellow. yellow and gold and white mixed in your aura, which is really positive, because anything that might be creating some of the outside things or people, because I do see people, it's like the competitiveness, like everybody's they're freaking out, you know, with the work thing. But and it looks like there's some news that doesn't seem really good, but at the same time I see you with somebody, I don't know. It's like you have it really together. I see you drawing from above, where you know where you came from, and your personal power is really intact, and you're able to draw from above and manifest it into the physical world that we're in. We live, me and you, live in, and you're able to. I mean, you've done some really great work here. I really can see that you've done some good work, and you really are taking control of your direction in life. And I get a feeling that limbo land is over. I see you coming up almost like out of a spiritual, not a physical death, of course, but being able to come up out of a death, so metaphorically, and being able to thrive on, and you're ready to go, and you've released from a lot of things from the past. You've put them in proper perspective. And I see just orange, but there's yellow and the white mixed in. It's a very purifying and very, warm, but also calm, and also it doesn't have a lot of talking in it, color, I guess I'm trying to say. And it just is coming naturally, but you've earned this. And it looks like the partnership or with somebody is very, very connected. And I know you didn't ask me about that, but I do feel that, have you been speaking to anybody about doing a different, like meeting of the minds, and you talk to somebody about maybe let's do this, or doing some type of idea about business, or doing a, you know, something that, you know, you talk to somebody about, that'd be really great if we could do this. And I just see that.
Yes, there was somebody that I teach as well. I have like three jobs, and one of the, I teach, and I went to them with some ideas and made some suggestions as to how to implement the program, take it up a notch.
Right, and I see it's going to be fantastic. And you know, it's not because of what I'm saying, it's because you are the one that owns this. I mean, you're manifesting, you really are, your personal power, especially with what's going on around your work situation, I can see that. Good for you, because, you know, I've seen something I don't know if you were in the chat room, but I was talking about putting yourself in a container or imagining when there's a lot of stuff going on around you, but if you can contain yourself, and protection, containing yourself to be able to thrive through whatever commotion that might be going on around you. You're one of those, that's exactly what I see that you've done here. That's work. And you've done a good job. Now, there is somebody that around your work situation, I think, is having money. There's some financial issues. He's like an authority figure. He may not have the capital, or something's going on, but he's not being real honest about the lack of capital around right now, cash flow.
The lack of what, I'm sorry?
Pardon me?
The lack of what, I'm sorry?
A lack of cash flow, a lack of being able to operating expenses, a lack of something. It looks like a male, so it's like not very dependable. There's something going on around this company I was talking about, and it looks like it's nothing more than it's his issue. It's like not being able to meet his obligations that he's being depended upon for everybody, you know, people are depending upon him.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was a separate organization that I was teaching for, and they did not pay their bills. They didn't pay me for teaching.
Oh.
Did that see that?
So you, So that's been something
that's
maybe
so
worth it. You know, I really see you thriving along, and actually your energy is so, I can't say much more about what you've done. You've done really well, and I see you've got some really great energy, and you walk into a room, you have a lot of, people are, they're like, what's the word I'm looking for? They gravitate towards you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very positive because, like I said, I can see in the past you've had some interesting, like we all have, but you've had some interesting, really intense, you've been angry before, pretty much. I can see, and this is why, anger, and you didn't let it, you know, you stopped it festering. You took control of what direction you were taking, and you maybe got a new car, went into that road, down that road too, but there's some really positive things coming along, and I do feel that you're not going to be around this, what I was seeing, the commotion, very soon. In the next 3 to 4 months, you'll be disconnected. And I see you going about doing a business or some opportunity, and it's going to be very good. I'm not saying, you know, overnight, but it's a very good, you know, it's like taking an ordinary opportunity. I see it being very great.
Mm-hmm.
And so your work situation, you know, you really can't, like I said, it is what it is. The big company, when I'm looking at. But I do see thriving along, and you didn't ask me about relationships or anything, which is, you know, interesting. And I think you have that all clear. I think you're just fine, sorted out. There is a male energy that's connected with this new opera or talking with you about. I get male energy to be very positive, except that one I was talking about, maybe not pain, whatever. But there's this male energy and you doing something together. It looks very positive, very positive. And he's a real go-getter, this other person.
And it's somebody I'm going to meet or somebody I already know?
You know of him. You've already spoken. You know of him. It's already, yeah, you know of him. And you know what I ask you? You didn't ask me about relationships, but it's, mm-hmm. I just feel that there's a really strong partnership or reconnection or like a new agreement with someone maybe you've been with for a while. It's so wonderful. It's it's very tender. It's very kind.
Well, I actually I was in a relationship then. I told him what I needed and that what he was providing me at the moment wasn't working. And I'm waiting to see what comes of that.
Oh, maybe stepping up here, because it looks like there's a new agreement. That's what you would need. If he needs a new agreement, so he would. I see that area being very, you know, because you, now again, you've done the work. You, so many people I've talked to don't, you know, you didn't get an ultimatum. You're just saying, listen, you need to step up or make an effort, and if he hasn't, and you're waiting to see if by actions he's going to make an effort, right? Not what he says.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I see that really positive, and he could be actually very helpful in also where your direction you're leading in some other of this other work I see you going towards too. And there's not a lot of talking, which is actually good, but you see, by actions, it's the actions that make all the difference, not the talking in a lot of ways.
Exactly.
You know, I see you guys mutually really positive, but like a brand new agreement mutually being agreed upon. It's wonderful. It's very wonderful.
Yay.
And family reunion. I just want to tell you, family reunions, anything to do about family reunion, if your family, it's going to be very positive, reconnecting with the family. Everybody's in good sync.
Well, that's good.
And,
I'm going to, the end of May, I'm going to go see my folks, and that was just kind of planned and everything else. And one thing back to the job thing is, when you said I'm going to be leaving to do something else, is anything having to do with my art?
Well, I could see that you are definitely somebody that is creative, and that's why I'm saying you know how to draw from above. You know, when I say that, like draw from, well, I'm not talking religious so much. All I'm saying is like whatever our higher power comes from, if it comes from the clouds, heavens, whatever person's up there. But you've drawn everything and you've pulled it presently, and you've done this already, and everything is before you. So yes, I can actually see something very creative. You have all the tools and elements that you have chosen to pull. Your personal power is so intact. Yes, definitely. I can see it being very creative. And being that, you look, like I said, people gravitate towards you. You are very creative. And you know, you're a very lovely woman. I mean, you like to have people around and everybody feeling good, and you have a real good spiritual being in around you. Well, you are a spiritual being, but I mean, you know, we talked about just being still. You've been able to be still and just be. And this is all happening. You've made a lot of things happen by just doing that. And I definitely see creatively, yes, I see you more of a creative. I mean, I think you're always creative in some ways, but yes, I see you really going for, like I said, an ordinary opportunity is going to be great in the end. It's going to be your thing. It's going to do quite well. I see you thriving very much so. And stagnation is over. Limbo land is over. I see you thriving. Not surviving, but thriving forward. Definitely.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
It's your reading. And so, yeah, I mean, really, I didn't say anything you don't already know, really. But good for you. I like it when I see people. You've done your work, and good for you. I admire you. So, and it helps me look at that, and it gives me a lot back, so thank you.
Well, it's amazing. Everyone's work is just outrageous. It's wonderful. And you all have helped me through creating this and enhancing this stability for me, because as I'm sure Steve can attest, as I've come a million miles in the last year or so compared to my energies from then. So
that's
because
lovely.
Of you but know you all
been
guiding
you've been
me.
Open to it. You've been open to it, and that's the main key, and that's really positive. Being open to it, and that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really. I enjoyed this reading for just my own personal self. It helps me to listen to what I just had to you for my own personal thing. So I thank you, and so I'll thank Steve at the same time, too.
There you go. Well, have a good night.
Yeah, well, I hope that helped. And well, this is your thing, and I really bless your heart, and you just keep doing what you're doing. You're doing fine.
Thank you. I'll follow up with everybody, and we'll see you next Thursday, maybe.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you so much.
Oh, and thanks, Des Moines. Bye-bye.
And thanks. Bye-bye.
That was great, Maureen. Now, just a reminder that the call-in number is 724-444-4851. Now, we do have a question from the chat room, and Steve's going to ask and answer that question.
Thank you, Sharon. Well, the question is from Sassy, and Sassy's asking about her son who passed 5 years ago. His birthday is the 2nd of April, and she's asking if he's still around her. And Sassy, as I tune in and ask my guides about your son, I'm seeing medium brown to darker hair. I also see really beautiful eyes, and my guides are saying that his eyes are absolutely beautiful, and that people often commented on his eyes. I do see a fairer complexion, so although I'm seeing medium brown to darker hair, I'm seeing a lighter complexion, and I'm drawn to the number 27 as well for some reason. I ask my guides why they're showing me the number 27, and they're saying that it's somehow significant. And I'm being drawn right back to childhood. Often spirits show us memories that are unusual, but memories that are particularly interesting for the client. And I'm seeing in the UK, we call them Wellington boots. Maybe one of the co-hosts can help me out with the correct term in the States. But they're rain boots. They're like rubber boots that kids wear when it's raining. They go up to the knees. And I'm seeing these yellow rain boots. And my guides are saying that that's a memory, that he had these yellow rain boots. I'm also seeing a blue car, and when I ask my guides, is this a regular car or a toy car, they're saying it's a toy. So I feel very strongly that he had a blue toy car as well. And as I tune into him, I feel slightly dizzy, sensation particularly around my head. My eyes are slightly blurred, and I get the strong sensation that this was a feeling before he passed, not immediately before his pass, but I just feel particularly drawn towards my head and get a sensation there. And it lifts, it goes, and my eyesight's become much clearer, and my guides are saying that it's a message that he can see very clearly, that he can stand, he's stable on his legs and in good shape. And my guides also refer to the month of May. He says that there's an important family birthday in the month of May, but he's certainly doing well. I'm also getting the name Richard or Richie, and when I ask the significance of that name, my guides say that he refers to Richard or Richie in the spirit world, that he's been in contact with Richard or Richie. And when I ask, is this a member of the family, I get the feeling it's more a friend of the family rather than somebody that's actually in the family tree. But he's doing well, and he gives you this information to show you that he connects with you and he's very much around you. So I send you lots of love on his behalf. I can see that there's a huge amount of affection for you. He also refers to November and December as important events in the family. So lots of love to you.
Well, that was great, Steve. It must have really helped her. That's really good. So now, I'm just wondering, did everyone enjoy the show?
Yeah, I think Dee, did Dee have a question? I thought.
Oh, we have a question?
I thought I saw Dee had one in the chat room. I really didn't think so. Hold on.
Okay.
Hi, all. I'm a little concerned about my job, a lot of layoffs. I think that was a question. She said, hi, all. I am a little concerned about my job, a lot of layoffs.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
I see it too.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. So that question will go to me because I'm the next in the queue. And what I'm feeling is that I'm getting the chaos around you, but I feel like it almost feels like I'm getting a metaphor of a snow globe. And I feel like, you know, when you shake a globe and there's always that one little person that stays steady in the middle. And I'm feeling that that's what's going to happen with you. I'm feeling like it's almost like, you know, all that's going to go around you, but not to worry that everything's going to be okay. And I'm also feeling that it'll almost work out better for you in the end. It's like, Dee, I'm feeling that in the end that it's going to be better for you than if all the changes didn't happen. And I'm also seeing a little bit of a step up in the end of where you're going to be. So I'm giving it about 6 months. I'm feeling like in a 6 months that all of this chaos will have settled and things will be much smoother. And I'm just feeling like, I'm just spirit saying that, you know, just follow your heart and it'll get there. And I'm also going forward about a year and a half, and I'm feeling that there's a huge promotion for you and you're going to be doing something that you really love. I'm almost feeling that you might even leave where you are, but on purpose, that you might do the leaving. So that's what I'm feeling for your D. So I hope that's good for you. Okay, so now I'm just wondering if there's any, you know, the number to call in is 724-444-4851. And now, Jackie, Maureen, Stephen, is there any other messages in the chat line?
Wait a minute. Maybe you couldn't answer my last question, but could it says you can answer one about my childhood friend. Do you read that, Jackie? Who died in a work accident a few years back.
Here I am. Let's see. Azer, maybe you can answer.
She's asking.
I think she was asking about lost her passport.
No, you could answer my last question, but could you answer one about a childhood friend who died in a work accident a few years back?
All right, so she has two questions. So,
I guess one more. We do, I think. Yes, we do.
So Jackie. Yeah, it's Jackie. It's your turn. So,
yeah. Oh, okay. So, what am I answering? About a.
I can't see. So.
Okay, Azure, do me a favor. type me your question so we don't have to waste time scrolling. Just let me know what you would like me to help you with. Okay, your childhood friend who died in a work accident a few years back, is he around? Okay, well, I will connect with my angels and bring through a message from them. I don't connect as a medium. That's not my specialty. I haven't developed that. But let me see what they want to share with you about that, okay? All right, and this is a childhood friend who died in a work accident a few years back. Okay, let me see what's going on. Well, the first thing that they're showing me is that I do feel this person is around that you're inquiring about. And interestingly enough, they're around to help you with your work, with your business. I feel that you're looking to step out and try to do something different with yourself. You're starting to listen more to your soul's calling, and that's really important. This is showing up very strongly for you. I do feel that there are a lot of people actually on the other side who are there to support you. They understand what your purpose is. They understand how to help you in a way that you need to be helped, because I feel that you're not certain who to turn to. Even coming here tonight feels very natural for you because of being able to tap in and sort of give you some inner guidance. The first thing I would say to you is definitely listen to sort of the messages and the signs that you're receiving as far as your next step for your business, because those on the other side and in the spirit world and your guides and your angels there, I feel like you're surrounded by them. There's just so much around you, and they're like, listen, we're here, you know, just please ask us to help. And that's what they want you to do. They want you to ask for their help so they can come in and start to give you different signs and different signals to point you in the direction to help awaken part of you again that's been sitting very quietly for a very, very long time. All of these things are starting now, right now as we speak, so trust it. Continue seeking for guidance. I would encourage you to write, journal things down, ask for questions that way, and sort of keep track of the things that show up, you know, sort of the signs and signposts, because what happens is, I do feel like you're somebody who spends a lot of time in your head, so to have something tangible in front of you is going to be a great way to keep track of things. And what that does is as you move forward, you know, next couple months, you'll be able to look back in your journal and say, oh, wow, I can see how things were showing up because I jotted them down. Oh, hold on one second. I have to cough. Excuse me, I muted. I didn't want to cough in anybody's ear. So anyway, so what I want to say to you clearly is begin your journal and write down the questions. I would say maybe 3 or 4 a day, and just ask for what you want. You know, for example, you could say, you know, your friend who had passed, just, you know, your childhood friend, just say, okay, how can you help me? You know, what is it that you can help me with? Because I feel there was a very close connection. So the sign will be obvious to you from this person. You'll recognize it immediately, and you're like, oh, that was them. That would be something they would say to me. And it'll come through a song on the radio or a smell or just a knowing. You know, you'll know. It'll be very clear to you. You will know. And when you get that hit, what I mean by hit is when you get that message, write it down. Just say, you know, okay, here's what came through. Even if you think, like, am I making this up? You're not. Write it down. This is really important because you're somebody who likes structure. You like to organize things. your soul is trying to get you to reawaken, but using more of the logical side to go onto that path. And I mean, in terms of writing things down and making it tangible. These are just suggestions. You can certainly, do as you please, but I really get the sense that, this will be helpful for you. And by the winter time, the end of this year, it's going to be like a 360. You'll be in a totally different place. But continue to ask for help. Those on the other side want to help you. And just really be open to what comes through for you, because it's very real. It is very real. And even if you're not sure, don't let the ego jump in and say, listen, that's nonsense. Who are you kidding? You know, because I feel like there's this battle, you know, inside sometimes, and you're just like, I don't know, am I making this up, or what's going on here? That's why I'm saying to jot things down, because then when you jot it down, and then you have the evidence, that makes it real. And the more you do that, the more you're going to see it, the more it's going to come to you, and then you may not feel like you need to even write it down anymore. But yes, I know this is a very long answer to your question, but yes, this person is still around, and they're around because they want to help you with your business and help you step into what you're meant to do, what your soul wants you to do. I hope that was helpful. It feels funny not talking to anybody on the other side, but mm-hmm. I hope that was helpful. So
That's great, Jackie. It is funny doing the chat ones.
Yeah,
it is. So, and that brings us to the end of yet another outstanding show, and I wish to thank my co-hosts and our executive producer, Doug, for his ongoing commitment to an internet radio show like no other, The Psychic View. So next week's show will be anchored by Steve. So Steve, what can we look forward to next week's show?
Well, we've got a very good show lined up for next week. We have Celeste Oliver as a guest, and she's a descendant of the Fox sisters. And for people that haven't heard of the Fox sisters, they were two sisters that lived in the States, and they experienced poltergeist activity. It's the most famous case of poltergeist activity. It's renowned all over the world, known as the Hydesville Rappings. And really, it was this case that started or spurred modern spiritualism. And people started to become very fascinated by the opportunity to communicate with the spirit world. So it's an incredible case. There are lots of books about the Fox sisters and the Hydesville Rappings. And to have Celeste join us as a guest and give us her personal and family insight into the Fox sisters is just phenomenal. So it's going to be a very exciting show.
It sure is. I remember going to the spiritualist down in Cincinnati or Indiana, and they had all the pictures of the Fox sisters. So that'll be great.
Yeah, and I was really excited as well, because I went to my bedroom. I went from my office after completing the paperwork for the show, and I went down to my bedroom. I have a big bookcase in my bedroom. I just adore books. They're everywhere in my house. And there was a book that had been knocked off the bookshelf on the floor, and it's a biography about the Fox sisters. So it was just amazing. So I'll be reading that book this week to make sure I really know the case well. It's going to be a wonderful show.
It's going to be a good show. Now, how old would they be, Steve? Like old? Like, are they? I'm not. That's not trying to be rude. I just I thought that was a long time ago.
What is that?
Oh yes. Right? Oh, absolutely. I mean, they're in spirit. They passed a long time ago.
Okay, so this is a descendant.
Yes. Yeah. Celeste is. I think. Well, Celeste will explain. If I'm right, I think that they were Celeste's great aunts.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they were. I actually had. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Yeah, I had met her at a workshop. So I'm glad that she's able to get on, Steve, and be part of the show. But she is. They are her, I think, great great aunts, and it's interesting because what she'll share is more than just sort of the stuff you read in books, anyway. So it'll be a great show. So.
It's like a journalist's dream, isn't it, to get a member of the family and to hear the
You're the dirt.
Site. Because it's yeah. it's such an it's such a well-known
story.
Yeah, I can't wait.
So,
that's great.
Perfect.
Okay, well, we're coming. That's the end of our show, and I just want to say good night to everyone and thank you for listening. And everyone,
say good night.
Good night. Have a wonderful weekend. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.